If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
True economic fundamental principles of investing based on our Canadian market up here. And for your listeners, find out the best sources of geographically the area that you're in to invest in.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jules McKenzie has been investing in real estate for over 20 years. Jules uses a simple buy and hold and rent strategy. Jules and his wife, Angie, have acquired over 50 properties by developing relationships with people who became their investors. In more recent history, they have sold and refinanced other properties to pay out investors and are holding on to 14 income-producing properties. He is also a police officer with the Rama Police Service, which polices Casino Rama and the Rama First Nation. Jules gets his support for real estate investing from the Real Estate Investment Network, which is a group that he's been a member of for over 16 years. Jules and Angie McKenzie are married and live and invest in Orillia, Ontario, Canada. Jules, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, the pleasure's all mine. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Where do we start? That's a good question now. Just got to refresh my memory. So we're involved in network marketing in the early 2000s. And my wife pulled me out of that business after we hadn't had much success. But I had actually listened to the books or listened to the audios. I read the books, went to the seminars, and expanded my thinking like this. And I told her, I says, okay, you pulled me out of this business, but I can't take my thinking like this and shrink it back down to this. And it was right about then we saw a TV infomercial for a real estate investing seminar that was coming up in Mississauga, Ontario, which is about a 90-minute drive from here. We went down to that seminar and got interested. And I really thought that I could do well at doing that business.
Now, that's interesting. So you went down, you went to a seminar, and then what was your next step?
Of course, we went to the free evening seminar, and then we signed up for the all-weekend seminar. And we went to the all-weekend seminar, and there's a portion of that seminar where they get you to inflate your credit cards and lines of credit, and then come back into the class, and they turn around and tell you to run to the back and sign up for some courses and whatnot. And a lot of these courses, while great training for the geographical area that they came from, they weren't really applicable to our market up here in Canada. So I got into a lot of financial trouble. I had purchased some properties that were in need of renovation. We unfortunately ran out of money. I couldn't afford to finish the renovations. They were vacant. We had mortgage payments due. We had property tax payments due. Of course, all the minimum payments on my unsecured debt. And we just got into a lot of financial trouble.
That must have been a sickening feeling.
It was not good. And I remember I was getting mentored from an individual from the Alberta area. His name was Darren Weeks. And he invited me to one more seminar. And it was down in Toronto. It was a Raymond Aron seminar, who's a very famous Canadian author. And he invited this speaker, Don R. Campbell, to do a talk to his group. And I was invited to this thing. I told Angie about it, and we were pretty beat up financially and, you know, pretty disheartened the way things worked out for us or didn't work out for us. And she says, okay, you want to go to this seminar, you're going to go without me, but you're going to leave the credit cards. You're not going to sign anything. You're not going to buy anything unless you check with me first. And I said, of course, I'm going to do that. So I went down to this thing and I met Don R. Campbell in the back of the room because I had that entrepreneurial spirit and I had business cards and I met the man at the back of the room. I didn't realize he was the keynote speaker. He went up and he started talking about the top 10 towns to invest in Ontario. So Ontario is our province, similar to your state down in the US. And he started talking about, you know, from number 10 to number one. Started talking about the Junction area of Toronto, Ontario. We started talking about Hamilton, which was not very popular back then. He talked about Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, and he talked about Pickering, Whitby, Oshawa areas. And I thought to myself, well, at least I know where I should have been investing, you know, the town that should have been invested in. And then he says, if you are investing in these two towns, you are in the number one area for economic prosperity and growth and value appreciation in the whole province. And those two areas are the Barrie, Orillia, Simcoe Shores. And I just like, what? What are you talking about? Did he say Barrie, Orillia is the number one place to invest? And I was sitting at a table with 500 people in the back of the room. And they said, yeah, dude, like, just settle down, chill out. And I was like, yeah, woo! And I started cheering. I was so hope-filled. I was so enthused. I was jumping up and down. And I remember Don Campbell was at the front of the stage pointing at me at the back of the room going, and if you want to learn anything about those areas, I think you want to talk to that maniac jumping around in the back of the room. I was so excited. I was so hope-filled that I knew I just had to stick with it and, you know, things would eventually turn around. So I joined the Real Estate Investment Network without my wife's permission.
Oh, no.
And drove back home and told her, and I was so excited. And there were some pretty quiet evenings for the next little while. I was in a bit of trouble. But then it took a few months where, you know, we had to make some hard decisions. I had to make a settlement with my creditors. And eventually Angie came around and, you know, we started investing based on true economic fundamental principles of investing based on our Canadian market up here. And, you know, for your listeners, you know, find out the best sources of geographically the area that you're in to invest in. That was the lesson for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you end up having to give those properties back?
Actually, we sold a couple of properties, sold only one at a loss, but you know, the few that we did keep, I collected on the sale of the one property we did sell, I collected vendor financing. So for a couple of years, I was getting checks in the mailbox from the purchaser of that particular income property. And vendor financing, very simply, is where the owner of the property, when he sells, he acts like the bank. And I held a second mortgage for him instead of getting cash up front. So he paid me in a little bit of chunks with interest on top of that. And that was a pretty good, that was kind of a default kind of learning about, you know, passive ways of earning income off your real estate. The other two, it did take some time, but my worst property was on Barrie Road in Orillia. And over time, we did raise little bits of cash where we could replace a couple of windows. We could replace some flooring. We could do some painting, maybe replace a roof eventually. And we eventually, as the tenants turned over, the rent and the income started to increase. So invariably, which was seemingly a very desperate, bad situation for my income property, actually turned out to be pretty good, because each time we turned over tenants and upgraded the property, we were able to go back to the bank and refinance it. And then we were able to turn over tenants, do some repairs, and refinance it, and go back to the bank and refinance it. We did that about three or four times. So essentially, while I was making my settling with my creditors and making payments to them, this income property was supporting that venture. And I was able to eventually sell that property at full price. And what turned out to be a bad situation turned out to be a very good situation.
That's awesome. So what does your business look like today?
Today, we at one point in our career, I'll just top up with a couple of war stories here. In 2005, I did my biggest acquisition, which was 38 single-family townhouses and a condominium corporation here in Orillia. We purchased 38 of the 45 total homes, and I did that with investors. I was still going through my settlement back then, so I couldn't even qualify mortgages. I approached my real estate appraiser. I said, man, I just need $5,000 for the deposit check on the offer. He said, oh, I'll lend you the $5,000, no problem. And he had me sign a promissory note for 12% interest paid per annum. That was awesome. So anyhow, that's probably a little funny side story for me anyway. It was quite painful at the time. But eventually, those appreciated in value in 2015. We had sold one and two all the way up to 2015. I had 22 homes left. The investors that I had in there were older gentlemen that owned their own companies, and they wanted to cash out and retire. So I went to the bank and tried to qualify 22 mortgages, managed to get 11. I took 11 units identified as the ones I wanted to keep. A subsequent investor of mine said, well, I'll refinance 11 and I'll pay you out on those 11. So essentially, we did a lot of refinancing and a lot of paying out. And Angie and I held on to 11 of those townhomes from 2015 until currently. We sold the last one in the early part of 2021. We purchased those way back in 2005 for $107,000 a door. We sold the last one for $275,000 And that's a pretty good return on your investment of, you know, me borrowing $5,000 from my appraiser and getting charged 12% interest because I was absolutely out of credit, out of money, but I had a lot of time.
Yeah. And, you know, 12% is not unheard of in the private lending space.
That's true. No, that's true.
You know, we're seeing a lot of that and higher, you know, 4 and 14 is some of the terms I'm seeing tossed around from guys who are borrowing hard money right now. So
as of late, Angie and I purchased this beautiful Victorian style home, and she is working on building her dream of, in our dream of owning and operating a bed and breakfast property here in Orillia. This property actually is zoned for bed and breakfast. So we're fortunate in that regard. It has a long history. The building was constructed back in 1889 by the Cavanaugh family, and we're hoping to maintain some of that heritage. I do have a picture of it if you want me to share it, if you want me to share it on the screen.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Why not?
All right, here we go.
While you're bringing that up, can you tell me, so you guys have unloaded then basically all of your real estate holdings except now for the bed and breakfast?
Actually, not true. So I did do, outside of the 38 townhouses, I did do... My primary objective was to invest in small multifamily residential properties. So up here, we call them fourplexes and fiveplexes. And mm-hmm. the reason was because you can still get residential rates on fourplexes and fiveplexes, and they're easier to, like, it, that's what I started with. I started with a fourplex. I understand fourplexes. If we have a vacancy, it's not a total loss. You know, we can still carry it through that vacancy. And, you know, I really like those. I think those ones are the winners. I just have to get my enable to share my screen, whoever is running things on the other side.
No worries. Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm like, what does he mean?
There's two of us here, so one of us has all the control.
Understood. Got it.
Okay, so those are the type of properties that we invest in now. So fourplex, the one in the center bottom row there, that's a single family townhouse that we just sold. We purchased that for $330,000 in 2017, and we just had an offer go firm on its sale, and we're selling it for $605,000. So that's again another good return on our investment. This is our ultimate house hack. It's this beautiful Victorian home, kind of in the central area, just west of the downtown. And we're hoping to, we have our four rooms renovated that are ready to be rented on a short-term basis to traveling executives and medical professionals that need short-term housing.
That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. What are your plans with this property? I mean, obviously, you're going to turn it into a bed and breakfast, but...
So this is my retirement plan. So, Sam, I got 2 years to go in policing. I do have a pension. Of course, I have a pension, but... I ran the numbers, and that pension after taxes will give me about $2,000 a month. So I'm accustomed to having a few more bucks a month than that. And this was a solution that collectively Angie and I came up with. And we're going to be renting out these rooms on a short-term rental basis. And, you know, essentially the corporation that's going to operate this business is going to rent the house, a portion of the house from us. And that's going to help us to solidify our financial independence through real estate investing. And if we want to take a break and go down to the sunny Caribbean or the sunny southern United States, you know what? We'll just turn off our application that accepts reservations, and we'll take off for a week or two.
Right. Man, that's fantastic. Good for you guys. It sounds like what you've done has been able to really create the lifestyle that you want.
Absolutely. Not only that, we are enhancing our children's lives through real estate investing by us helping them to purchase their duplex. So a couple of years ago, I helped my son and his girlfriend purchase a duplex in Orillia. I put up all the money for down payment and closing costs. I helped them qualify the mortgage. However, they're young, so they didn't have credit. And sometimes, especially up here in Canada, like if you don't have credit, that's sometimes worse than not than having bad credit.
Right.
So he had to carry a mortgage at 6.75% for a year. And I just let it ride because I wanted them to know that this is hard work. There is some perseverance that you have to go through. And early last year, just before the pandemic started, I helped them refinance it. And their interest rate went from 6.75% to 3.14%. Effectively cutting their living costs in half. So they rent out the second apartment, which is a legal second suite, and they rent out a room to one of their buddies. So essentially between those two rents, they cover their mortgage, their property taxes and insurance payment. And when they shut down everything, they were out skateboarding and going down the trails, hiking and doing all those kind of things while they were collecting their CERB, which was the Canadian Emergency Response Benefit. So they're really living the life of Riley there for a while.
That's fascinating. What are some things, as you review your history of investing in real estate, what are some things that you maybe would do differently?
What would I do differently? Interesting you asked that. I probably would have had a bigger vision for what, you know, I could accomplish. And I probably would have sought to purchase more multifamily. And I'm talking large multifamily, you know, 12, 15, 20, 30 unit buildings. At the time, I was enthusiastic. Like I said, I'd come from the network marketing business, and that's a lot of sales training. So I was very charismatic, very outgoing. I was able to attract capital quite easily with my charming personality. And I probably would have used that to attract bigger capital from more substantial investors to purchase a large multifamily property on a long-term basis than just, you know, buying and trading and selling and renting out the smaller multifamily properties. And don't get me wrong, I still have, you know, a lot of those small multifamily that I've purchased with investors. But, you know, it is what it is. And we're still going to meet our obligations and do our end, which is upholding the property, maintaining it, and keeping it rented out.
One last question. Why did you stay on the police force when you had the option? Obviously, you're making money in real estate and you see the possibilities there. What about the police force?
You know, it's kind of like the priesthood. You know, it's a calling. I know that I could probably walk away and retire right now, but I just feel obligated. And that policing, that badge, that uniform, that gun, that it's still an integral part of me. But I'm working on it. I'm working on, you know, making sure that I get my mindset right. We did some coaching programs. You know, we're working on getting myself out of there. But, you know, it also helps very much to qualify mortgages. In Canada, you really do need to have a good job in order to qualify a mortgage, especially with the amount of qualifications that you have to meet up here.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's fascinating. Jules, I've really enjoyed our conversation here. Let's jump into the final four, if you don't mind.
Oh, boy. Okay, here it comes.
Here it comes. Watch out. They're tricky questions. The first one is, what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Keep reading and studying and attending meetups.
That's great. That's great. Question number two is, when it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you were doing to stay on top of your game?
I continually read and attended my real estate investment network meetings and stay focused on my geographical area and know economically what's going on there by reading newspapers and online publications.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Investing in some green technology for our properties and just trying to be a good citizen and give back a little bit here and there when I can.
Right. I love that. Jules, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
So I'm on social media. So my very favorite medium is Twitter. It's at Mr. Jules McKenzie, spelled at MrJulesMckenzie. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn under my name, which is just Jules McKenzie. And I also got my Instagram account, which is at MckenzieJules. But on there, it's mostly my show off CrossFit videos.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Jules, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. This was fascinating.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Bye now.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.